So, because of time constraint, I will only read the English of the verses leading up to text 42. Prahlad Maharaj loudly chanted the holy name of Lord Narsingadev. May Lord Narsingadev, roaring for his devotee Prahlad Maharaj, protect us from all fear of dangers created by stalwart leaders in all directions through poison, weapons, water, fire, air, and so on. May the Lord cover their influence by his own transcendental influence. May Narsingadev protect us in all directions and in all corners, above, below, within, and without. Vishwarup continued, O Indra, this mystic armor related to Lord Narayan has been described by me to you. By putting on this protective covering, you will certainly be able to conquer the leaders of the demons. If one employs this armor, whoever he sees with his eyes or touches with his feet is immediately freed from all the above-mentioned dangers. This prayer, Narayan Kavacha, constitutes subtle knowledge transcendentally connected with Narayan. One who employs this prayer is never disturbed or put in danger by the government, by plunderings, by evil demons, or by any type of disease. O King of Heaven, a Brahmana named Kosika formerly used this armor when he purposely gave up his body in the desert by mystic power. Surrounded by many beautiful women, Chitrara, the king of Gandharva Loka, was once passing his airplane over the Brahmana's body at the spot where the Brahmana had landed. Suddenly, Chitrarat was forced to fall from the sky head first with his plane. Struck with wonder, he was ordered by the great sages named Valikilayas to throw the Brahmana's bones in the nearby river Saraswati. He had to do this and bathe in the river before returning to his abode. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, My dear Maharaj Pariksit, one who employs this armor or hears about it with faith and veneration, when afraid, because of any condition in the material world, is immediately freed from all dangers and is worshipped by all living entities. And now text 42. Itam vijam adikato Visvarupachatakato Lokya Lakshmin Bhutbhuje
Lokya Lakshmin Bhutbhuje
Vinirjicchamidesuram
Itam
This
Vijam
Prayer
Adigata
Receive
Visvarupa
From the Brahmana Vishwarup.
Shatagatu.
Indra, the King of Heaven.
Trailokya
Lakshmi. All the opulence of the three worlds.
Bhubuje.
Enjoy it.
Vinirjicha.
Conquering. Mride, in battle,
Asuran,
all the demons. Translation. King Indra, who performed 100 sacrifices, received this prayer of protection from Vishwarup. After conquering the demons, he enjoyed all the opulences of the three worlds. Purport. The mystical mantric armor given by Vishwarup to Indra, the king of heaven, acted powerfully, with the effect that Indra was able to conquer the asuras and enjoy the opulence of the three worlds without impediments. In this regard, Madhvacharya points out, Vijakarmani sarachada, guru prakta falaprada, andyata naiva falada, prasanukta falaprada. One must receive all kinds of mantras from a bona fide spiritual master. Otherwise, the mantras will not be fruitful. This is also indicated in the Bhagavad Gita 4.34, that we believe the same Savior of prediction, just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master, inquire from him submissively, and render service unto him. This I will realize so and impart knowledge unto you, because he seen the truth. All mantras should be received from the Ajivas Guru, and the disciple must satisfy the Guru in all respects after surrendering at his lotus feet. In the Padma Purana it is also said, Sampradaya vihinige mantraste nisvaramanta. There are four sampradayas, or disciplic successions, namely the Brahma Sampradaya, the Rudra Sampradaya, the Sri Sampradaya, and the Kumara Sampradaya. If one wants to advance in spiritual power, one must receive his mantra from one of these bona fide sampradayas, otherwise he will never successfully advance in spiritual life. Thus ends Bhaktivedanta purpose of the 6th canto, 8th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam entitled the Narayan Kavacha Shield. Om Agyanati Marandasya Gyanamna Salakyam Shakshurabhitam Yantasmai Shri Gurave Namah Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Vipakadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Sigurav Sivitapatakamanam Sigurum Vaisamanscha Sri Rupam Sarvajatam Sarvanaravinatam Vitantam Sajivam Sarvetam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sarvanaralita Savisakam Vitamscha Hei Krishna Purna Sindha Vinanda Jagatpate Gopesa Mubika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Dāpta kāṁśana kūvanti rādhikantāvanishvari Visarādhu sūtadevi pranamāmi naite Vamchakarpadurvīca kripāsindhuvīyacca Patitānam pārādhīyo vaiṣṇavīyo namunamaha Śrī Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityānanda Śrī Advaita Vedanta Shri Vasati Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. In this chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, which we have just completed now with this last verse, we have heard about the Narayan Kavacha Shield. It was a prayer, certain mantras that were given to Indra for his protection. And basically, various prayers offered to different manifestations of Lord Narayan, who comes in Das Avatar, or who comes in 10 incarnations in each of the Mahayugas. And this protection, which comes from the Supreme Lord, is the greatest protection. In the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a lengthy description about mystic powers, obtaining various mystic powers, and it is explained that mystic powers may be attained from the different modes of material nature. One may obtain mystic powers from the mode of ignorance, so such kind of dark ritual to obtain different powers, which may involve mantras in the ritual and so on. Then activity or ritual in the mode of passion, which may also produce mystic power. Those in the mode of goodness. And finally, the pure transcendental power coming from the direct protection and mercy of the Supreme Lord. So the power of Krishna will always prevail. Yata Krishna Yogeshwara Tata Sri Vijayo Bhutir Dhruva Nityir Nama. We remember that that Arjuna and Duryodhana were preparing for the battle of Kurukshetra. It was inevitable. And finally, it was obviously important to obtain the support of Krishna, because on whosoever side Krishna was, Krishna was very powerful, and surely that would make a great difference in the battle. So both Duryodhana and Arjuna were rushing to meet Krishna. And it was actually Duryodhana who reached first. He was very elated. And he sat down. Krishna was resting at that time. So he sat down right next to Krishna's bed, right next to his head, with the idea, I'll speak to him first, and then I'll just ask him for, you know, and then Arjuna will be finished. Arjuna came, and Arjuna sat at the feet of Krishna. But because Krishna was lying down on his back, actually, and his head on the pillow, when he opened his eyes, he saw Arjuna first. So, because he saw Arjuna first, he gave Arjuna the first choice. And then Arjuna was, but Krishna gave some conditions, and Krishna said, I will not fight in this battle. Duryodhana was like, he will not fight. You will not fight. No, but my army will fight. And you can either choose. Either you can have me, or you can have my army. And then Arjuna totally lost it, according from Duryodhana's perception. I mean, Arjuna chose Krishna, although Krishna said he would not fight. And Duryodhana walked away with the army and very satisfied. I did well. His army is very powerful. And he's got Krishna who will not fight. Anyway, we saw what that ultimately led to. And that led to the victory of the Pandavas, clearly directed by Krishna, who didn't fight, although he even broke that promise also, on the strength of Bhishma Dev. Bhishma Dev was challenged by Duryodhana. Bhishma Dev was challenged to kill the Pandavas, because Duryodhana said, you're not really fighting. You're not serious. You're fighting, but you could kill them if you wanted to. But you're sparing them. So then Bhishma, being challenged, said, all right, see these five arrows. With these five arrows, tomorrow I will kill the Pandavas. So Duryodhana was very happy, but also worried that there was a long night in between, and that some politics might be made by some of the demigods, because demigods, they're witnessing everything. So therefore he said, okay, grandfather, can I keep those arrows? Yes, you keep. So that day the battle was fierce, and in the evening Arjuna came to visit the camp of Duryodhana, as was the practice, that in the day they would fight to kill, and at night these kshatriyas would come together and peacefully discuss. And so, Arjuna, you have come. Well, how can I serve you? Would you want to have victory without any battle I will give you? No, I'm not asking for that. No, he said, but just asking for one thing, you know. Actually, there was a boon that long ago was given by Duryodhana to Arjuna, because he had saved his life. So he came for that boon, and he asked, give me those five arrows. So then Bhishma was so upset. He knew it was Krishna's politics. This is simply Krishna's politics. He's done this. So then Bhishma Dev swore, he made me break my vow. Now I will make him break his vow. And he fought so valiantly, he even without those powerful arrows that, like, he was about to kill Arjuna. Then Krishna suddenly grabbed the chariot wheel and ran for Bhishma Dev, which was Bhishma Dev's greatest ecstasy. So ultimately, it is the protection of Krishna and nothing else that is the protection. Here it is mentioned that by this chanting of this Narayan Kavacha, Indra was very well protected from all the demons. He was able to conquer the demons. He had that power to be protected from the demons. So Krishna desires this because Krishna wants to keep the demigods in their position. He wants to keep pious souls in positions of rulership because there is an order within the universe, an order to protect the principles of religion. And therefore the demigods, even although they may have some desires to enjoy their position, they're pious. The demigods are always pious. Their enjoyment is always according to scripture, according to the mode of goodness. And they are dedicated to the mission of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the Lord protects them. Whereas the demons, of course, try to establish their own supremacy. Iswaroham aham bhogi, I am the Lord and Master, I am the enjoyer. That is the demoniac mentality. Krishna appeared on this planet upon the request of the demigods. The demigods headed up Bhumi, the personified deity of the earth in the form of a cow, came before Lord Brahma and just explained how she was overburdened by the weight of so many demoniac kings. And Lord Brahma was sad to see her condition, and along with all the demigods went to the ocean of milk to pray. And then Lord Kshirdaksai Vishnu, he sent a message that soon he would appear in this world, and that now all the demigods should take their birth in the Yadu dynasty. Then Krishna came, and Krishna killed so many demons. He killed so many demons. So in this way, by killing the demons, Krishna relieved the burden of the earth. I was reading in the prayers of Kavi Karnapur, and Kavi Karnapur said, previously you relieved the burden of the earth by killing the demons. But now you're relieving the unhappiness of the earth by dancing on its surface. So that is Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya, who does not relieve the burden of the earth by killing demons, but who relieves the burden of the earth by his chanting and dancing. Now that has become the Yuga Dharma. Not killing the demons, but simply dancing and chanting everywhere kills the demoniac mentality. Even, or as Prabhupada said, turning crows into swans. The impossible begins to happen. Even the demons begin to chant the holy name. Even now, the demons take up devotional service. In the Nectar of Devotion, there is a description of Kamsa's moment of doubt. Kamsa seated on his throne, the throne that he took from Indra by his great power. Kamsa, who had defeated so many powerful personalities. Kamsa, who had a powerful elephant that he had thrown 80 yojanas distance. Kamsa, so powerful, ruler seated on the throne, was thinking, what can Krishna do to me? I have very powerful allies. Very powerful allies. Casey. Casey is my ally. In front of him, who can do anything? Just then, some messengers arrived in the court. Your Majesty. Casey has been killed. No. Not Casey. How is it possible? Not Casey killed. It cannot be. No. He's too powerful. He's just too powerful. He even killed Casey. What shall I do? Maybe I should just surrender unto Krishna. How could I do that? What would people think? He comes surrendering. No. Then maybe I should go to Vrindavan and inflict pain on the residents of the town. So see, even Kamsa had his moment of thinking, maybe I should just surrender. Then he didn't, but the thought occurred. Because every demon can become a devotee. It is possible. Because Jivera Sarupai, Krishna Vinicha Das, the constitutional position of every living being is to be a devotee of Krishna. So that is our relief, because otherwise we start to think, can I actually become a devotee? I know this Krishna consciousness is the truth. I know that. I believe that Prabhupada is certainly the greatest pure devotee, and so on. I think it's very nice. But I have one doubt. That doubt is, can I do it? Can I do it? Yeah, I know this is the truth, but can I actually do it? That doubt I have, you see. There's doubt. Doubt in myself. No doubt in Krishna. Doubt in myself. No. This doubt in yourself is also doubt in Krishna. Because we think that my demoniac mentality is more powerful than Krishna's mercy. No. No matter whether we have fangs and claws, whether we are great from a great dynasty of demons, it doesn't matter. Many of us are. What can we say? Many generations. Fathers and grandfathers, but what to do? But even if somehow or other we chant the holy name of the Lord, everything can change. If somehow or other we chant the holy name of the Lord, all sinful thoughts can disappear. And Kavi Karnapur continues to explain. He says, the most fallen will now become devotees. Just like Advaita Acharya prayed in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Advaita Acharya says that all the chandalas, let the most fallen, the most sinful, they will dance on the surface of your earth and they will sing. That while the Bhattacharyas and the Chakravartis and all the great brahmanas will criticize and will burn in the fire of their own envy. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, let it be so. So in this way, it is now that even those who have no prior qualification are receiving the mercy of the Lord way beyond the mercy whatever the demigods received. We're reading that Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati in his Chaitanya Chandramrita comes up with a surprising prayer. He says, what benefit did the earth attain from the appearance of the Lord in the form of Varahadev, who lifted the earth from the Garbhadak ocean? What benefit was there when Lord Vamanadeva returned the heavenly abode to Indra? What benefit was there when Lord Ramachandra appeared and killed so many Rakshasas? So many Rakshasas. I have read that there were so many Rakshasas, enormous numbers, much larger than the current population of the earth. Much larger numbers. But somehow or other, practically all these Rakshasas were killed by Lord Ramachandra and his monkey army. And then we see that Srila Prabhupada Nanda in his prayer is asking, what benefit did the world attain from all these incarnations, from Varahadeva, Vamanadeva, from even Lord Ramachandra killing all these Rakshasas, in comparison to the mercy that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed upon this entire universe? Because now we are not only saved from demons, not only protected and living comfortable, not only protected, it said, no influence of disease, right? No influence of so many dangers, no influence of demoniac enemies, war, impending war. People are getting worried. No such dangers for one who chants Narayan Kavacha. But one who chants the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, which has been received in the cyclic succession from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one who is a Rupa Nuga, a follower of the six Goswamis, and who is chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, goes way beyond what Indra attained. Such a devotee is thinking, this world, the body, disease, war, all these things, yes, such trivial things. These are all just small, little, insignificant things. But what if the whole universe blows up? So many universes, an unlimited universes, as many universes as mustard seeds in a bag. What if there's one universe left? Okay, insignificant. At one point Srila Prabhupada mentioned that he said about the body, he said, he's speaking about anarthas, and then he said, the body is an anartha. Of course, making the best use of a bad bargain. But serving Krishna, now that we are imprisoned, this body is like a cell, a prison cell made of flesh and blood, and we are locked in. The bars are maitunya agra, the bars of sex life. Then we are locked in. We are locked in this body, in this cage. So Srila Prabhupada speaks about a bird who has been locked in a cage for a long time. And then they took the cage and put it out in a field and opened the door and said, my dear bird, please, you are free to go. The conditioned soul for so long has been captured in this material body. But now the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has reached. And now the offer is there. We are free to go. Yes, you are free to go. Free to go. Free to go, yes. You can go out of the cage. The bird is looking. The door of my cage is open. Just see. The bird ventures out, flies out of the cage, flies around a bit in the sky, and then returns, only to go back in the cage, Srila Prabhupada explains. So this is our condition. We get the opportunity. Yes, we get the opportunity to just take the transcendental platform to laugh at all material things and see these things have no real meaning at all. But while we're here, let's engage them in the service of the Lord and bestow mercy upon the conditioned souls until we again resume our eternal service in our eternal spiritual bodies, where devotional service is possible without impediment, without any limitation. Here, the material body is so limited, the spiritual body. Such an opportunity to serve. But, all right, now that we are here, let us pass on as much mercy as we can. It's not much. It's not much what we can do. But anyway, let us do what we can. And then, but those who are courageous will say, no, I want to go out of this cage. I do not want to go back into this bodily existence. Enough. I will no longer dedicate myself to sense gratification. Over. I will give up this false hope. The hope against hope, I know. So far, I tried hard. Before Krishna consciousness, I used to write songs. And one song that I wrote, I will share with you because it's relevant. It is that these old hungry eyes have told me many lies, but maybe this one time I will be satisfied. You get the message, right? The eyes are lying. The eyes are telling us, this is it. Not true. And each time we found that it wasn't true, still not fulfilled. Dream we attained and yet not happy. We got everything. We're living in the rich part of the world. Here, even when you're poor, right? You have a car, you have a house, you have everything. Yeah. Here, what is poverty in this part of the world? Everyone has got money coming out of every pocket. Yeah. Money. Yeah. That's what it is in this place. Of course, what sinful things are behind that money? Where did it all come from? That is another question. Anyhow, even despite everything we have, no fulfillment, still not happy, still not enough. So let us not become bewildered and enter again into that cage of material existence. Let us not fall prey again and say, oh, it is so difficult. Difficult or not, together, it is the Sankirtan movement. Together we chant, together we dance. So we've come here for this festival, an opportunity to associate with the devotees. An opportunity to get mercy, an opportunity for all of us, an opportunity to strengthen our connection with Krishna. For me, an opportunity to speak, which is an opportunity to focus. It is speaking about Krishna. Is a meditation, is deeply thinking, intensely thinking. When you speak, your focus is intense, thinking strongly at that time. So we are blessed. So I come also, even when you sit here and speak, you come purified in the speaking. So such festivals are for that purpose, that we come here to be purified. We are part of the greatest gift, greater than Narayan Kavacha. We receive the Maha Mantra in the disciplic succession of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, with all the mercies and blessings that he gave and is giving. Now everything is possible. We laugh at material desires. We laugh at them because we know the holy name is so much more powerful. The only thing we need to do is somehow or other conquer our unwilling mind. My man don't want to change. I've had thousands of excuses. I'm tired, I'm sick, I'm busy, pain in my bank, I got lots of pains. Very important things to do, crucial. I cannot chant. No, I can. My prophet's favorite cartoon, chant, can't. Everyone's excuse. So somehow or other, let us take advantage of the association of devotees. Come together again and again, get some strength, go home, maintain courage that we are going to do it. The courage, okay, it's a battle, but we're going to do it somehow or other. Follow this path. It is said, akama sarva kama va moksha kama udaridi tivrena bhakti yoga na yajeta purusham para. Whether we have material desires or whether we don't have material desires, we should engage in pure devotional service with great force. It is a verse coming up in the pastime of Dhruva Maharaj. And I like the verse because it says, we should engage, whether we have material desires or not, we should engage in pure devotional service. But how can I engage in pure devotional service when I have material desires? So no, we should engage in the process of pure devotional service with great force. Tivrena bhakti yogena, without adulteration, like the full blast of the sun, not adulterated. Tivrena. In that way. So without adulterating, without watering down the process of devotional service. We are the Hare Krishna movement. Everything is dedicated to chanting the holy name of the Lord. In order to chant it properly, we are following four regulated principles. Then all the service that we are doing is in the service of spreading the holy name and of chanting the holy name ourselves. Therefore, whatever we do, let's bring it back to chanting the holy name. So let us, in festivals it's tough to chant 16 rounds. Everyone was hiding, me too, to some, and that's intelligent. So if you have to hide to chant the 16 rounds, hide. Because in the middle of a festival, sometimes it's so ecstatic, but then, oops, the rounds never got done. First the rounds, and then just hearing and chanting. As much as we can do that, that will be the source of our strength. That mantra will protect us when we go back, when we leave this little safe place, this little island, this little spiritual realm called Radhadesh, when we go back right there into the conditions of Maya, and Maya is right in your face, then let us come back with some strength from being absorbed in hearing and chanting, because that Maha Mantra is the one thing that will protect us from Maya, by giving us a higher taste. And that higher taste is the real source of strength. Such strength cannot be broken. It's not the strength of determination, the strength of higher taste. So we're looking forward at this festival. We're very, very graced with the presence of His Holiness Lokanath Maharaj, who
wait.
meditating, who is always meditating. One year we were in Durban Rathiyatra, and they often had it that I was leading the first half of the kirtan and the parade, and Nokhilan was the second half, as the warm-up. So being passionate as I am, I was rocking it. And we were in the middle of town, and it was packed, packed, packed. People were on the buildings everywhere, and I thought, and now I've sort of warmed it up, and now Lokanath Maharaj will take it to, you know, to another level. And I thought, it's really going to go somewhere, this kirtan, and all the drummers who are sort of getting ready. And then at the beginning of the Rathiyatra, Bhakti Chaitanya Maharaj is very good in his lecture of the gopis bringing Krishna back to Vrindavan. So Maharaj got so affected by that lecture that in the middle of the Rathiyatra he starts the kirtan with Jaya Radha Madhava. That's meditation. That's meditation. So we are very fortunate that the Vaishnavas are bringing their meditation. Tattvavit Prabhu is here, who is deeply studying scriptures and so many deep thoughts. Sometimes he shocks me by a comment, you know, or Paralila Prabhu is here with his enthusiasm. He was already fired up in Mangalarti. The festival is only about to take off. And so many other devotees that all bring their contribution. Pujaris have dressed the Lord. What a darshan. So beautiful. So everything is ready. All we have to do now is end this lecture and then take a little Krishna prasad. Things will go on like that. So any questions or comments before we end?
One can be or might be religious without being spiritual. How can one be spiritual without being religious?
Yes, one can be religious without being spiritual. Yes, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami also says that he said any activity, whether religious or irreligious, if it's not devotional service to Krishna, it's sinful. So that's Chaitanya Charitamrita. So even religion can be sinful if it's not devotional service to Krishna. So that's the key, the pleasure of the Lord. Risikena risikesa sevaram bhakti uchite. Serve the senses of Krishna. So many cooks, they are cooking all day in the kitchen. No tasting, because they'll offer it to Krishna. It's for the pleasure of Krishna. So when we are offering our activities to Krishna, everything, yet karosi, yet asnasi, yet jahusi, yet asi, whatever we do, whatever we eat, whatever we speak, whatever austerity we perform it for the pleasure of Krishna, then we'll be spiritual. That is true spirituality. Spirituality means satisfying Krishna. So even if someone sits and chants, oh, if they do it to satisfy Krishna or to come closer to Krishna, then it's pleasing. So many people are doing such things as a step on the way towards Krishna. And one who is chanting Om with the idea that he's trying to approach the truth, such a person will surely receive the mercy of Krishna and the name of Krishna also. Krishna is fully present in his name. In his name, Krishna is most merciful. Even in his form, if offenses that are made against his form can be forgiven by chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. So Krishna in the form of his name is the most merciful, forgives the most. Therefore, in the chanting of Hare Krishna, we get the best opportunity to meet with Krishna very close. have that union with the Supreme Lord. Be very intimately connected with Krishna in the chanting. So let us today chant as much as we can. We're going to also see a festival where they throw some colors around. And that's also nice. Yeah. But even more nice than the colors is going to be the chanting. So be there to join the kirtan. 2 o'clock. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada. Ki Jai. Shri Jai. Jai.